You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 1st of December. What are the Jazz doing right now? Dennis Lindsay and Justin Zanuck meet the media. Three takeaways from that. Why continuity? Why Azubuike? And they like the young kids this year. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. Hope you're great. 1st of December, opening month of the NBA season is here. That's a weird statement. The preview series continues. Craig Bowlerjack will join us for the talk about Derek Favors and talk about the rest of the NBA coming forward. There were a lot of really interesting comments yesterday from Dennis Lindsay and Justin Zanuck around the Utah Jazz, and I want to get you those. There were three I mentioned already. A fourth was kind of that he talked about losing the big combination. I think seeing some value in that. You'll hear them talk about Juwan Morgan in a positive nature. He revealed kind of where Azubuike was on their draft charts as well. And then finally, I asked him about the medical staff, because one of the big things the Jazz have done recently is built up their medical staff, led by Mike Elliott, Eric Waters, their trainer, and Barnett, just a whole group of people of partnership with the University of Utah Health. And, you know, there's a huge medical analysis of how players are going to react to this. I think it's the most untalked about story right now is how are veterans who are used to being in a biorhythm and a pattern going to react to the fact that they're suddenly starting the season in December? Are they going to is March going to come or April going to come and they have still another month and a half of the season? Their body's going to be like, no, I shut down now. Are they going to be able to be ready in a different manner than they've been able to done? These guys are incredible creatures of habit. So I asked Dennis and Justin about that. So we'll have all of that coming up for you. Right now what's going on are four pods of four. So they can work out, but they are not having group team workouts. That doesn't start until Sunday the 6th. And that's when then everybody gets out on the floor. And that's really different, frankly. You know, that's a different way to start training camp. Maybe not as they've been doing OTAs, but that's uncoached and that's on their own for years and been doing that. So this is a little different on how this is all going to play out and again the pattern for the players. So want to get that to you. Craig Bowlerjack's coming up on the show. So let's start with Dennis Lindsay, Justin Zanuck, and them talking about the fact that they lost the big option to how they play and some other aspects of kind of roster flexibility they believe that Derek Favors brought to the team.
We have proof of concept with Derek and Rudy Gobert in combination were plus six in tandem. And so obviously, that big lineup was quite successful, even though I think some people have worried about the offense. You know, it's proven that it can be successful. Frankly, we missed the big option that we'd had in previous years in the name of skill. We were eliminated by Golden State and Houston three consecutive years, and we couldn't keep up offensively. So the analysis, you know, we have plenty of time, but it was quite simple. After December 23rd, we were the number one offensive team in the NBA. We managed our seeding games in the bubble. As you guys know, we weren't pressing the gas for a number of issues during the seeding games in the bubble. And then the playoffs were the playoffs, and we had the number one bubble offense in the playoffs. So for us, it stood to reason, let's bring back our top eight guys that produced the number one offense since December 23rd. And then add a defensive component that when we need to go big. As an example, I felt like the only really tough matchup that we faced all year long was the Lakers. They manhandled us physically. So, yeah, Derek doesn't give us traditional spacing at the four, but he does give us vertical spacing at the five. Again, coupled with, it's already been proven that that he and Rudy can play together successfully. There's no question when we faced the Lakers, when we faced Denver in particular, there were some big options that we wanted to have just that weren't at our disposal on the roster. So you're trying to build a roster that if this, then that. So there's, you know, the offensive teams that we faced, we need to be able to keep up with or surpass. When it becomes a more physical playoff, typical playoff type of basketball, we certainly missed the physicality component. And I felt like the Laker game at our place last year was a real window into what we were lacking.
Dennis continued on that, and Dennis and Justin both were answering various questions at different times in this press conference and started talking about, you know, the other aspect of this is, you know, do you start with a 10-man rotation and then do you go to a 9 and then do you get to an 8 by the time you're at the playoffs? Do you play extra guys early here? This is kind of back to the whole health issue. And so there was a good deal of talk about Juwan Morgan, Mione, and the younger group that the Jazz have left over from last year. Obviously, they've moved on from Rajon Tucker. He got traded to Cleveland just recently, and Cleveland then just waived Rajon Tucker. So we'll be interesting. You know, so really we're talking Morgan, Mia, Brantley, probably as much as anyone in this group.
The thing that we're really excited about, you know, again, the data's small, but Juwan Morgan, as an example, was plus 8 with Rudy at the 4, and he gives us a switch 5. Quinn experimented with some 5 smalls. That's an option that if you just want pure 5 out spacing, but it just stands to reason to us that Rudy helped us produce the number one offense by what he does. So, yeah, they're certainly at the 5 position. If you're speaking towards that position solely, we wanted to provide Quinn with a different role type of option in Fave.
Another interesting moment happened in the when Dennis kind of gave an insight and revealed how high Azubuike was on their draft charts. I mean, this is clearly, as I said on draft night, this was not a case where like they misread the draft board or something happened and the guy they were shooting for, like a Josh Green or Jalen Smith, went so early that they had to act in this manner. This was their guy that they wanted to go get and got him impressive, you know, and traded down to do it, which was also kind of a really interesting thing that I got into them with a little bit as well, and I'll share that with you as well. But here's Dennis on Azubuike.
And then Udoka, as Justin and David spoke in the draft, is quite unique. He set the all-time NCAA record in field goal percentage. I think 3 feet in, 65% is good. 75% is excellent. 85% three-foot in is ridiculous. So his vertical spacing, we think, is a very important part of the program. It's clearly something that Rudy provided. So again, we're quite comfortable. Obviously, we erred towards size, physicality, continuity, and those were objectives. And so as for the decision with Udoka, look, there's going to be times where you make decisions that are need-based in draft, free agency, trade. We prefer, as Justin mentioned on draft night, just take the best player available. I think our analytics ratings had him second overall. Our scouting ratings had him inside the top 10. Their defensive rating at Kansas was 80. which was the best in the NCAA. You know, we just feel like he's a unique kid. Here's my expectations for Udoka. Come in and learn. Come in and establish work habits. He's just 20, turned 21. There's plenty of upside left, and we couldn't be more thrilled to have a talent like that in the program. We're excited about Elijah Hughes in the same respect that we like Boyan. He's a good open shooter. He's a good isolation player. He's got an excellent mid-post game. And so we think in time, Elijah will provide us some offensive versatility that we're speaking to as well. We got four second-year players that were all part of the best G League club in the G League last year that put together the second-best defense that was perimeter-based. It was a perimeter-based defense where we guarded the three-point line very well. The four guys that are back all helped us drive margin. We'll see if they are situational, if they're rotational, but we feel good in particular about what Juwan did at the G League level and what Mie could potentially provide us.
What's really great about these is that you actually get insight. If you listen to what Dennis and Justin are saying right now, they'll give you little tidbits. There's more coming up that's really interesting about how they got deals done, the importance of the medical staff, and really Dennis's big thing that they've moved out of being a small market franchise. So we'll continue. More Justin Zanuck, more Dennis Lindsay, and part of Craig Bullerjack still coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz, Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Every day for you with Josh Lloyd, the number one fantasy basketball program in the country, giving you all the insight you need to get your fantasy team ready for the season. So subscribe on iTunes, follow on Spotify. It's Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Today's show brought to you in part by Built Bar, the most deliciousest. That's not a word, but it's in our copy. I don't think it's a word. Is it a word? Deliciousness? Well, you know what I mean. It's the 100% chocolate on the outside, the incredible flavors on the inside. For me, it's the mint brownie. It's the orange. It's the raspberry. The white chocolate flew off the and sold out over the weekend with great deals going on. This last weekend, they had super, super deals with new flavors for the holiday, for the white Christmas at Built Bar. So make sure you go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. Get 20% off your next order. It's got the greatest macros out there. You're taking perfect for the keto diet. Instead of all the sugar and the carbs, you're getting the protein with great taste. It's healthier and it tastes amazing. You have not had a protein bar that tastes as much like a candy bar as you do with Built Bar. The old days of the chalky protein bar and having to take a glass of water while you're having your protein bar are long gone. So go to BuiltBar.com, enter in the promo code LOCKEDON and get 20% off your. Let me get to that. I didn't mention it earlier, but you know, part of what the Jazz did pretty creatively in coming into this was that they traded back in the draft. They knew they could trade Tony Bradley. They knew to trade Ed Davis to be able to clear that money, trade back, take a lower pick, and be able to re-sign Jordan and Derek. And I was interested, like, do you know you can get that done beforehand? How do you know that you aren't going to suddenly get stuck with a bunch of salaries to be way over the luxury tax and just instead of somewhat over the luxury tax?
Justin Zanuck and David Moraway did an excellent job canvassing the league to really make these options or bring a set of good options to us, I should say, David. So I just really want to give them a lot of credit and thanks. It was a lot of hustle, elbow grease. We had Steven Schwartz behind the scenes providing us very good salary cap analysis. And again, we're updating Steve Starks and our ownership group continuously about the options that were available.
Piece in terms of planning and those things, you know, appreciate Dennis's words on the options that all of us worked hard to do. You know, and it speaks to the communication level and us all being connected. Certainly, you have plan A and then B, C, and D. And you hope if everything goes right that you can, execute on plan A. You're not always in control of that because it's either other teams to agree to a deal, but investing in those relationships, making sure you know markets, and then things happen very quickly. And, you know, everyone being constantly up to speed allows us to make an informed, quick, and timely decision that benefits the Jazz.
And finally, the medical thing I think is really interesting, and the Jazz have spent a lot of time building up an incredible medical staff led by Mike Elliott, who they hired away from the Suns. Eric Waters, who came from the Wizards, is their trainer. Sports and science for Barnett. Jeff Watkinson on the coaching staff has a huge background in this. So there's some really interesting aspects, and here's what Dennis and Justin had to say about that.
To us, as for the health performance piece, David, it's like any early season and a training camp, even though it's going to be really truncated. Your question was one of the reasons why we wanted to err towards continuity. Not only does Quinn know the eight top returners, the second year guys, bringing Derek back, but by definition, we know each player's body. Now, there's some things moving forward that you can never predict. Hopefully, we'll have good luck with COVID. Hopefully, we'll be very disciplined and use best practices with Mike Elliott and his group. But the continuity piece wasn't just a basketball-related decision. There were some health performance pieces as well. Justin, will you add your piece to that?
I'll add on the health performance part, David. You know, again, referencing the bubble and a short ramp up and a truncated season, we got to see what that looked like with basically this group. So gave, to Dennis's point, but gave Mike Elliott and Quinn even more knowledge in a very recent basis of how this could go. Obviously still need luck and good health, as Dennis has said, but that corporate knowledge is going to be big for us and our group.
The other piece, David, that I would add to that is I need to give Quinn, Mike Elliott, Anthony Zamora, all of our people and player services a great deal of credit as well. Jordan Clarkson was a very significant free agent. He had big market, glamour market options. He wanted to come back. He and his agent worked with us very well on the contractual matters. Derek Favors wanting to come back. Frankly, we were able to do a few things from a management standpoint a year ago to find him a nice landing spot that guaranteed his contract. But really, it's a credit to Quinn that Derek kind of got the role. And look, we told Derek no promises relative to starting, but that he'd be an important piece of the group moving forward. And then Mike Elliott's just done a terrific job of gaining the confidence of players and their agents. And so the fact that Derek wanted to come back to us at this stage of his career was a nod to Mike Elliott as well. And so, that Boyan choosing us as well a year ago, we're kind of moving past some of the critiques of small markets, if you will, by having some continuity and having good people that are really good at their jobs within our walls.
So those are some tidbits and some pieces from the Lindsey Zanuck presser. Craig Bowlerjack right around the corner here to give us talk to Derek Favors and continue our preview series interviews. Thurl Bailey Wednesday, Thurl Bailey Thursday coming you. Plus, we'll hear from a bunch of players and coaches over the next few days, as well as they're doing their media week this week instead of media day. Today's show brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai, located 4646 South State Street, also located in Linden and in Logan. The Hyundai lineup of cars is just fabulous, and this time of year, the Murdochs are stepping up for the communities they have for so often. Now, they're supporting foster children and getting boots for all those kids to make sure they have winter boots with each of the purchase they're donating. Plus, they're giving you a gift card to Al's Sporting Goods as well. But the Hyundai cars are what should really move your meter. The great SUV lineup, the little Kona, the Tucson, the Santa Fe, and then the beautiful Palisade there for you with the Elantra and the Sonata in the sedans. If you're looking for a car as the year comes to an end, make sure you take a second and look at Murdoch Hyundai and email me first at dlock09@gmail.com so that we can get you the VIP treatment that you deserve at Murdoch Hyundai. Located at 4646 South State Street, also in Logan and in Linden, it's Murdoch Hyundai. Day two with Craig Bowlerjack, TV voice, the voice of the Utah Jazz. He's taking you through your
childhood of being a Jazz fan. Now he's taking through your adulthood of being a Jazz fan. And the Jazz are ready to roll this year. We talked in yesterday's episode, in case you missed it, about Donovan Mitchell, what his next steps are, the Ryan and Ashley Smith ownership. So if you missed yesterday's show, please grab that, as the Jazz are underway with their group. They cannot have everyone in the gym this week. They're having their workouts kind of as four players at a time, so they're confined, focused workouts. Next week, they'll let everybody in the gym at one time. Derek Favors coming back. I think I texted you. Your guy is back, Craig Bolajack. How excited are you to see Faves again?
Well, you know what? I'm excited to see him. Look, I think you and I ought to have this discussion tonight because, you know, a lot of people have different emotions. Look, here's the first emotion I got was it's rare, and Big T may fit this as well, that a player comes back and still has the impact of the fandom, right? Thurl is much loved around Jazz Nation, and Derek Favors, I think, in my following the Jazz, David, I got to be honest, I mean, there's few players that are welcome back, and Faves was one. You know, I had a couple of talks with him, I'm sure you did too, last year, where I said, you know, I tell you, big fella, it'd be great to have you back, and he goes, I'll be back. I know I will one day, and sure enough, a year later, here he is, and you know, it's a great conversation to have. You know, 6'10", he was just 19 when the Jazz got him, you know, originally with the D-Will trade. And here he is now, nearly 10 years later, back with the Jazz. He has great hands. The most that he talked about that he's excited about, David, is working with Joe Ingles again on the pocket pass, the pick and roll. You got to admit he's got great hands. Very little on three-point ability, even though he says he still wants to be able to improve there. But the big fella has the 12 to 15 foot range jump shot straight away, mostly, and a little bit off the edge. But you know, I think he brings some variables. I think he obviously digs and buys into Quinn Snyder's system. He can rebound, like I mentioned, he has hands, but again, you made the point earlier yesterday in our conversation about how the league is changing, and it is right before our eyes every year. It's all about the three, 6'8", 6'9", some 6'10 guys, the bigs. Jokic, for a big player, can knock down the three, but Faves doesn't have that. But yet he has the other, some attributes that the Jazz want. And I think that's what you have to focus on. And also, he's a hell of a teammate. And in this day and age, it's probably a good thing to have. And I hope it's a good reunion. I hope it works out in his favor. And if it does, it works out for the Jazz.
It's funny, you talked about talking to Faves, and I had the same memory. And I actually was on a radio show, I think it was with DJ and PK, on 1280 The Zone. And I said, you know, I talked to Faves early in the year, and it was clear he wanted to come back. I went and looked at it. It was actually January 6th. Like, I had this like feeling and emotion that we played them in New Orleans in like November, and like very early on, Derek was like, I'm not, like, it was actually in January. So it's like, it was actually pretty. And then we came back and played them right afterwards, played those two epic games, the Rudy Gobert block of Brandon Ingram, and then Brandon Ingram getting the best of the Jazz on the next time down there. But I it was interesting to me. Like, his love of Quinn Snyder was so, like, overwhelming in that Zoom press conference the other day. And it was clear then when we talked to him about what his thoughts were about the Jazz and what he was going on, is how much he just missed Quinn Snyder.
Yeah. You know what? Let me ask you a question, because we've had this combo, and I wonder what you think after you've kind of sat on it for a while. But his role, I obviously, what I caught from his conversation about, yeah, I've talked to Quinn. Yes, I know my role. I think it's intriguing to me to see that he understands that it's most likely bench play, right? And how that will impact his performance in minutes. And some nights it may be low, some nights it may be high. Rudy may get into foul trouble, right? The Jazz may want to play small. and they may not play Derek Favors a lot of minutes on given nights. But I kind of got the feeling, and correct me if I'm wrong, that Faves is up to date on what that role will be. Did you get the same feeling?
I did. He said, I don't care if I start or if I come off the bench. He said, I expect to play 20 to 24 minutes. I'll be honest, I actually have a little bit of a hard time coming up with 20 to 24 minutes. I can't entirely figure out how he gets that without starting. But maybe he plays with Rudy on second units, which they've never done before. But I certainly hope Rudy Gobert averaged 34 minutes last year, and I certainly hope Rudy Gobert averages 34 minutes this year. You know why? Because Rudy Gobert is awesome. Derek Favors is really, really good. And so I kind of hope Derek Favors plays more than just 14 minutes because he's really, really good. But, like, let's not forget something. Rudy Gobert is awesome. And he played 34 minutes a night last year. He is very conscious of, how he stands in the league. He's going to want to play 34 minutes again, if not more. He doesn't like the 14 minutes he sits out, which is great. That's what you want out of your players. So I'm ecstatic to have Faves back. It completely solves one of the two weaknesses the Jazz, I think, had last year in backup big play and the defense and in that second unit. But I am having a hard time figuring out where all the minutes come from.
Yeah. When I heard 24, I kind of, you and I had a discussion and I kind of felt the same way. Rudy's a guy that, just totally intrigues me. 15 points and about 14 rebounds last year. And just the way that, again, you can't, like a Mark Eaton, you can't track how he alters shots on a given night. I think, what the Jazz wanted to do, David, was, we know what Clarkson brings offensively. And the fact that the second unit, most teams that run at a Western Conference championship has what? Depth. And all this does, I think, is like you just said, is solidify a forward with some mid-range, shot ability to help the Jazz with that second unit. Can he play as a starter or can he play and finish games? Absolutely. If Rudy has foul trouble, I think Quinn has all the confidence in the world with Derek Favors. So you never know how it's going to play out. But I think the Jazz did get better with the second unit, another player that can help Jordan Clarkson with rebounds, second chance points, and that pick and roll with Joe has always been fun to watch. And what did Ingles? Ingles was one of the first players to text out and say, hey, welcome back, pocket pass. And those two have a chemistry, man, and it's going to be fun to see those two back together doing their thing.
Here's the importance of Faves, both to give the Jazz an advantage, but also, here are the Western Conference projected playoff teams and who their backup centers are. Okay, so Dallas is either Maxi Kleber, which Faves should be able to physically dominate, but he's a heck of a good outside shooter, so he's a really good player, or Boban.
Right.
Denver is Jamichael Green. Golden State's is Kayvon Looney.
Uh-huh.
Houston's is actually DeMarcus Cousins. The Clippers is Serge Ibaka, which is pretty similar to Faves. You better be ready to match that. The Lakers is Montrezl Harrell, which you better be ready to match that. Like, Tony Bradley'd have a hard time on some of these matchups. I think New Orleans is a playoff team. It's Jackson Hayes. Phoenix is a playoff team. It's the young, jumpy Damian Jones. Faves is probably superior to that. And at Portland, it's Enes Kanter. So, the backup bigs are actually one area still where Faves can take advantage, but also just good enough that if you're weak there, you're going to have a hard 12, 14 minutes a night, and that's where the Jazz were.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. Kanter back in the West with the Blazers, and he likes to play physical style. And he's got, that up and under. Faves, I think, can still hold his own, 29? I think he feels confident. And the beauty of this decision for him to come back is in the same, probably same with Kanter. He knows what Terry wants up in Portland, and he knows the system the same with Faves and Quinn Snyder. And, David, you know how that is. I mean, if you can fit in like a glove, then you're already ahead of the game. You don't have to learn the system. It's already in your head. It's already automatic. And I think that, again, plays into the Jazz favor. I really do. No pun intended with favors, but it does play into their favor.
He's Craig Bowler, Jack TV, voice of your Utah Jazz. You'll hear him all season long on Jazz broadcasts. We'll talk about where the Jazz sit in the NBA as well as what the rest of the NBA did this offseason. There is a really interesting podcast that got launched during the Thanksgiving holiday. It's called Rejecting the Screen. And Ronnie Nunn, the longtime NBA veteran official, was on with Adam Stenko and Noah Kozlov on Rejecting the Screen, kind of told about superstar calls and all the rest of it. So make sure you go check that out at Rejecting the Screen on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.